Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doth thou open thy eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as a hireling this day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it shall bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. I thought that is a beautiful verse, yet through the scent of water it will bud. But then it goes downhill from there. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. And if you're wondering why I would use that to preface the sermon with, it's because I want to talk to you today about time. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. That's a quote by Harvey McKay. Time is something that every one of us has. Have you ever considered that fact? You cannot see it, you cannot hear it, you cannot speed it up, and you can't slow it down. Time is constant in that we have divided it by seconds, minutes, hours, and days, by years and by seasons. We have clocks everywhere to remind us of the time, to tell us if we are late or tell us if we're early. We have alarm clocks, watches, clocks on our stoves, manual clocks, electric clocks, even atomic clocks, cell phones that have clocks, and we have clocks in our cars. Our lives are basically controlled by time. When we get up, when we go to bed, when we go to work, when we go to school, when we get off work, when we get off school, when we eat, and when we sleep. We hear people say, "I don't have time," or "I thought I had more time," or "when I find the time." How many times have you been in a situation that you found yourself wishing that you had more time? For example, when you were taking a time test or a timed exam, you know what I'm talking about. Time's up. Put your pencils down. It doesn't matter how many questions that were remaining unfinished on that page. We have some control over our time, do we not? We can decide what we do with our time for the most part. We can use our time constructively for our benefit or for the benefit of others. We can share our time. We can waste our time. Or as some would say, we can kill time. However, we do not know how much time that we have, do we? Yet we fail to prioritize our time. After you deduct the hours at work or commuting and eating and sleeping and getting ready for work and so on, we have a small amount of time remaining every day. Then if you deduct screen time, that is TV, computer, smartphone, video games, and so on, is that our priority with our time that remains? And then maybe we throw in some time for physical exercise, such as running, walking, yoga, and then what time remains? And maybe, let's see, did I study my Bible today? Did I call a fellow Christian that's ill or in the hospital or that lost a loved one? Did I visit a new convert or try to encourage someone by sending them a card? Did I post a verse on social media when I was on that site using some of my time earlier? It has been well said that the older one gets, the faster time goes. Ask an older person like Kyle or someone if that's a true statement. Remember how long summer vacation from school used to last? Remember how long winter seemed like it lasted? Or how long it took you to reach your 16th birthday so you could get your driver's license? One of my favorite passages regarding time is James 4, verses 13 through 15 that I use often. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there in a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is either a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Or Luke 12:16-21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The rich man certainly thought he had more time. He decided, since he had much goods laid up for many years, that he was in a position to eat, drink, and be merry, to live a life that so many people today work so long and hard for. But in the end, he was wrong. He was dead wrong. 1 Timothy 6:6-10 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. Which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many people today don't think of money as causing them many sorrows. Ephesians 5:15-16 in the King James says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. That's what I want to concentrate on today, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The phrase redeeming the time is also found in Colossians 4:5. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. In both passages, redeeming the time is related to wisdom and how we walk or how we live. To redeem something means to buy it back, to regain possession of it. Time is a gift from God, and none of us know how much of it we are allotted. Only God knows how much time each of us has on this earth to make decisions that will impact eternity. I don't think we think enough about impacting eternity or how I use my time is going to impact eternity for me. I think we just kind of go over that. When God says we should be redeeming the time, he wants us to live in constant awareness of that ticking clock and make the most of the time that we have. In fact, the NIV's translation of Ephesians 5:16 uses the phrase, making the most of every opportunity instead of redeeming the time. Rather than wasting our days on frivolous pursuits that leave no lasting imprint, Scripture instructs us to be diligent about doing good, such as Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. The context of the command to redeem the time helps us to understand what redeeming the time looks like and why it's important. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Whereby be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, whereas excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Redeeming the time means that we're careful about how we live. We seek out and employ wisdom, as told in Proverbs 2:1-15. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, see that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifts up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are froward in their paths. We seize every opportunity and use it for God's glory. We think through our plans and make sure they align with God's will. And we avoid empty, harmful activities, such as the works of the flesh, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variations, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. Why are we to live this way? Because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16. We must overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus taught his disciples the necessity of redeeming the time. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. John 9:4. Jesus was diligent about keeping his mission. Distractions were as prevalent then as they are now, but he let none of them deter him from preaching and teaching God's word. That is why he had come, Luke 4:43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Though he spent about 33 years on this earth, Jesus changed the world forever because he redeemed the time. We can learn to redeem the time by becoming conscious of the fact that we may not have another day on this earth. The song Live Like You Were Dying by Tim McGraw is about redeeming the time. While it focuses on pursuing earthly passions in the time that we have left, the lyrics make an important point. They conclude with this thought: someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. As Christians, we should live like we were dying and pursue all God has given us to do while we have the time. Does everything done for Christ on earth earn eternal rewards? Mark 9:41 says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And 1 Corinthians 8 says, now he that planteth and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And a favorite passage of mine in Hebrews says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That which was done for selfish, carnal reasons will burn up and blow away, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 3. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed for fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Another way we can learn to redeem the time is by asking God to help us. We should start every morning by committing our day to the Lord and asking Him to help us do something that day that has eternal significance. By beginning our day with eternity in mind, we become more aware of spiritual things and less aware of carnal things. We look for ways we can honor the Lord, to help someone else, or utilize our time in productive ways. Sitting at a red light, we can pray for our neighbor. Mopping the floor, we can worship in song. At a restaurant, we can leave a tip along with a gospel tract or a card inviting the server to worship with us. We can evaluate our talents and interests and find ways to invest them for God's kingdom. Visiting and calling visitors that have fallen away. Asking friends to study the Bible with you. And studying to show ourselves approved unto God are all ways we can redeem the time. James 4:14 reminds us that our earthly lives are no more than a fog that appears and then quickly evaporates. Our money and possessions will be given to someone else. Our jobs will be filled by others. Our families may remember us with fondness, but we'll move on with their lives that don't include us. All that remains of our lives on the earth is that which was invested in eternity. In the end, all that matters is what we did or did not do to redeem the time. Psalm 102:3 says, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned in a hearth." And 144 says, "Man is like unto vanity, his days are a shadow that passes away." Matthew 6, starting at verse 19, tells us, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or what for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? And why take ye thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we clothe? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow shall take care of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Before we close the lesson today, I'd like to read 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow after, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Are you redeeming the time? Are you using your time wisely for God? Are you using your talents that God gave you to spread the gospel, to try to enlarge the borders of the kingdom? Are you serving the Creator or the creature? Romans 1:25 says, They changed the truth of God into a lie and worship the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Time is like a river. You cannot touch the same water twice, because the flow that has passed will never pass again. Enjoy every moment in your life to God's glory. If you're here today and have never obeyed the gospel, you must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe, Hebrews 11:6, Mark 16:16. You must repent, Luke 13:3. You must confess, Romans 10:10. You must be baptized, Romans 16:6. You must live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2:10. If you're a Christian and have need of prayer, we can pray with you and for you. Please come as we stand and sing the songs that have been selected if you have any needs at this time. Thank you.